Well, today we're going to continue our series called Snapshots of the Savior. Snapshots of the Savior. And we're learning what it means to see pictures of Jesus' life and things he was passionate about. And as we look at this series of Snapshots of the Savior, we've been looking at things that we always have this picture of Jesus, of the manger. You know, we see him in the manger, then we see him on the cross and resurrection. And that's kind of the photo album. That's how our photo album consists of Jesus. And when we realize this, that when you want to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, you got to have an understanding of who he was, what he came to for on this earth, and what he speaks to our life. What are the things he was passionate about? What are the things he was passionate about sharing with us? And we've been looking at this, and we looked at today several things about Christ's life and taking different snapshots of who he is. Today I want to talk to you about the thought, warning labels. Warning labels. Today I brought a few things with me. I thought were kind of humorous here. Some warning labels. I was looking at this on the internet today and had some things on here. It's called the Abdoer, Ab Extreme. And it's an ab, and it guarantees that you will lose 3 inches and 10 pounds in the first 2 weeks or your money back. And it goes on to talk about this. Get it. It's free. It doesn't cost you anything. Just try it on a free trial basis. And then in really small, small print, it says this. Of course, your credit card, you have to give a credit card number, and you'll be billed 4 times the amount of $40. So this thing is going to cost you $160. In the fine print, you don't see that. Also in the fine print, it says the ab exercise will help you lose this weight along with a strict diet and daily exercise. So for $160, you can go on a strict diet and daily exercise, you can lose 10 pounds. Today, I tell you what, I'll make you a better deal. For half that, I'll tell you how to do it. And you don't have to buy this thing. It's the fine print, but they don't advertise that. That's not in bold. What you see is someone who looks in good shape, someone who's got the tape measure out and they're showing you, someone who's got abs poking out there, somebody who's had liposuction already done, you know, it's looking good there. But they don't advertise that. Why is that? We also see other warning labels on things. I was looking at things in our house and things that we have just laying around in our cabinets. Warning labels. Here's some original Pam. You know, non-stick cooking spray. Just spray in. And it has some warnings on here as we need to read. It says this. Warning. Use only as directed. Intentional misuse, basically by inhaling the contents, can be harmful or even fatal. You realize this thing can even kill you if you inhale it the wrong way. Look at this bathroom cleaner. It says, warning, causes substantial but temporary eye injury. Do not get in the eyes or clothing. Wear protective glasses when using this. So I'm thinking, to use this, you got to wear protective glasses and be naked because you can't get it on your clothes. Doesn't make a lot of sense, does it? Don't get it on your clothes. Don't get it on your skin because it can really hurt you bad. But use it to clean your bathroom. How does that happen? But they don't put that on the front of the can, do they? Don't say, warning, right here. This is what could happen if you misuse the product. Let's look at something else here. How about Sweet and Low? This is one of the old ones here. Sweet and Low. This is a great thing. I use Sweet and Low, I'll be honest. I use Sweet and Low sometimes. But it says here that Sweet and Low, warning. See, some of the ingredients in here has been known to cause cancer in laboratory animals. They don't advertise that there on the front, do they? It's in very small print in the back. How about this diet pill? It's clinically proven for rapid fat loss. I won't tell you whose cabinet these came out of, but I've had them for a long time. As you can tell, I haven't used them. You know, you get those impulses you buy. I got to lose rapid weight, okay. All right, I was reading direct back to this, and it says here, warning, do not use if all this stuff is happening to you, a list of things. And it says, also, if you're at risk of a heart attack or have a risk of high blood pressure or you had a heart disease or if you have asthma, do not take. If you have eye problems, do not take. If you suffer from migraines, do not take. You could have allergic reaction. Could even cause death or heart failure. Hypersensitivity to caffeine, do not use. I mean, the list goes on. This whole thing is a warning on the back. But they don't put that on the front, do they? They don't put that on the front. Why? Because they want you to buy the product. All you see in the big package is someone there and working out and a nice cut up figure. and they put the warnings on the back in very small print. Because why? Because warnings don't sell, do they? Warnings don't sell. Let's be honest. Warnings don't sell. What sells is the positive stuff. You can look like this. You will feel like this. You'll obtain this if you do this. And so we all are looking for the positive, so we're drawn to that. Yes, I would love to lose 10 pounds in the next 2 weeks. I would love to do this so I can be sleeping, not exercising, and lose weight. Sure, I'll try it. I might not wake up when I go to bed, but you know what? It's worth the risk to lose 10 pounds. You know, all these things happen because we are so geared to wanting the positive. Well, when it comes to Jesus Christ and the portrait that he gave to us, it's this, that Christ came. This is what I love about Jesus. He always gave us the warning labels along with the positive. That he never left anything out. That he was very clear. I mean, very precise on identifying the warnings that come along with Christianity. The warnings of putting God first in our life. And today, it's a very important thing that we don't skip over all the positive things that Christ did and realize he came also to give us some warnings. Some little things that are in fine print. He said, no, I'm going to just tell you right up to your face. I'm going to be bold with you. I'm going to tell you, these are the warnings. These are the things that come along with being a Christian. So today we're going to talk about these warning labels. One of the most amazing things about Jesus is this, the fact that not only did he talk about the upside of Christianity, but he talked about the downside, of things that you will suffer, of things that will cause you some stress in your life when it comes to Christianity. Because Jesus wants you to know the kind of commitment you are making when you make a decision, say, I'm going to be a Christ follower. He wants you to know the kind of commitments you're making and are agreeing to. Jesus warns us and says, listen, man, this is the deal. There's some good things, but there's also some things that you're not going to like. There's also some things that can cause you some stress. So today I'm going to walk you through some of these warning labels that he gave us. As we look at these snapshots of the Savior, we've been looking at things that Jesus are passionate about. He's been passionate. We looked at being a servant, that God came. Jesus came to be a servant, to give us a servant mentality, to face that small mentality. We talked about being a small world. Self-promoting attitude that we have naturally. Jesus came to confront that in us. I talked about us having a servant attitude. He talks about identifying with us, how he identifies with us on the workplace, in relationships, and everything we do, Christ can identify with us. He was passionate about teaching, wasn't he? We talked about last week about Christ the master teacher and the teaching style of Jesus and why he taught the way he did and why we should incorporate that into our own life as we teach the gospel. This week, we're going to talk about another passion of Christ, and that's these warning labels that Christ came to warn us. I've said this before, and I want to say it again today. If Jesus Christ is not Lord of all, he's not Lord at all. If he is not Lord of all, he is not Lord at all in your life. I'm going to give you the first warning today that he came to tell us. The first warning was this. Failure to read directions will cause extreme embarrassment. Failure to read directions will cause extreme embarrassment. Here's a story we find in Luke chapter 14. The crowds are pressing to Jesus, and they were traveling with him, this miracle worker. He's doing miracles after miracles and teaching. And all these things are happening. The crowds are picking up. To mass crowds are picking up and following him. Let's pick it up here in verse 25. This is what Jesus turns to the crowd and says. It says, large crowds were traveling with Jesus, and turning to them, he said this. If anyone comes to me and does not hate, I heard that word a few times this week. It does not hate. Is that a misprint? Let's just stop right there. Is that a misprint? Someone asked me that. Is that a misprint? No, it's not a misprint. That's what Jesus said. Anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and his mother, his wife and his children, his brothers and his sisters, and yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Those are very powerful words. And when we read that, we say, what is God talking about here? What was Jesus talking about? Why do you say I got to hate everybody? Because everywhere else in Scripture, he says I'm to love. But right here, he says I'm supposed to hate. And so as we study this original meeting, he was not wanting you to actually hate your father and your mother, your family, your brothers, your sisters, your children. He was not wanting you to hate them. Because we see in Scripture, he tells us the very opposite. He says we are to love, and love's the greatest thing that we can give to each other and do. It's the greatest of commands, is to love our neighbor as ourselves. So what was he saying when he said to hate them? When you study the original meaning of this word, it actually goes back to the original meaning of the word love less. Love less. So when Jesus said to his followers, he said, you got to love your father less than me. You got to love your mother less than me. You got to love your family less than me. You got to love everybody else in your life less than you love me. I've got to be number one in your life. I've got to be number one. And you've got to come to me and say, you know what? You got to love God more than anything else. And in comparison, it looks my love for my family looks like hate compared to my love to God. He's saying, you're in so much love with me that even though you love your family, it almost looks like hate. Because you got to love them less than you love me. You got to love me. You got to fall in love with me more than anything else. Look what it says here in Luke 14, 27. He sums it up and throws this out here. Anyone who does not carry his cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. Anyone who does not carry his cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. When Jesus talked about and Christ talked about carrying your cross, the Romans understood what that meant because that was the way of crucifixion. That was the way of punishment. And when they were crucifying the criminals, when they were crucifying those who were on death row, they would make them carry their own cross before they were crucified. They had to carry it through the town. And that was a sign of submission to the Roman Empire, to the Roman government, that you were being submissive to them, that they were putting you to death and they had control of you. And so you had to carry your own cross. And so when Jesus said, carry your own cross, what was he saying? He was saying that you and I have got to learn to daily submit to his lordship. He was saying daily we got to learn to pick up our cross, submit to him, submit to the lordship of Jesus Christ. He is Lord of our life. And he's saying, listen, this Christianity thing, it's great, but let me tell you this. There comes to consequences. You need to read this because if you're going to follow after me, you're going to learn to pick up your cross daily. You've got to learn to love me more than you love anything else. He was very clear. He didn't sugarcoat it. He didn't try to hide this fact. He didn't say, oh, and also let me tell you this. Psst. Okay, that's it. No, they even wrote it in the scripture. He pointed it out and he spent time to elaborate on, listen, this is not the fine print, but let me tell you, this is right here. Beep, beep, beep. Lights are flashing. You must love me more than you love anybody else. You must learn to submit to me daily more than you submit to anything else, putting me first in your life. And Jesus, he told a story right after this. He was trying to teach them. So they were having a hard time understanding. What are you talking about, Jesus? We got to die on a crucifixion here. We got to hate people. And so Jesus, let me tell you a different way. So Jesus, in the great storyteller he was, as I paraphrase his next story, he told him a story. He said, what if a man went to build a tower and he didn't count the cost? And he went out there and he started construction and he got all the way halfway through and he ran out of money and he didn't get a bid. He didn't know what it took to build the thing. And so he had this tower that was halfway finished and he had to quit. And he was embarrassed because as he walked by, people walked by and said, why isn't that tower finished? Well, I ran out of money. And they're like, idiot, you know, why didn't you stop and get some estimates before you started? Why didn't you know how big you could build your tower before you ran out of money? Why didn't you know it was going to cost you more than what you could afford? And so Jesus said, listen, before you start to build this, count the cost. Know what it's going to cost you. Then he goes on to tell another story right after this. He said, listen, what about a king who was going to take his army into war? Would he just show up at the other king and say, hey, I don't like you. Let's get ready to rumble. You know, let's go. Let's go for it. No, first the king would send out spies and he would look and see, all right, how big is their army? Do we have enough supplies? Can we make it? Can we win this war? And a king takes time to figure those things out before he sends his troops into war. He goes, how stupid would it be if a king just said, let's just go for it and get out there and realizing when they get in the middle of this war, they can't afford the war. They get in the middle of this war. Hey, we don't have enough guys for this war. We're getting killed here. We better retreat. Retreat. Go, go. He said, that would be a foolish of that king, wouldn't it? He goes, in the same way, when you serve me and you want to be my disciple, how foolish of you not to read the warning labels. Count the cost, knowing that it's going to cost you. That you got to learn to love me more than you love anybody else. You got to learn to put me first. You got to learn to submit to my lordship in your life. It was a warning label that he gave us. He was very clear. He summed it up here in Luke 14, 33. In the same way, any of you who does not give up everything he has cannot be my disciple. I mean, he can't make it any more clear than that, can he? We don't need to get out the Strong's and interpret this. I can read this and I can interpret it. It's very clear. The meaning was very clear. In the same way, any of you who does not give up everything he has cannot be my disciple. That's what it means to give him lordship of our life. We say, God, everything I have belongs to you and is yours. The second warning he talked about was, he said, contents will be hazardous to yourself. Contents will be hazardous to yourself. The contents of Christianity are hazardous to yourself. Here's the story in Luke chapter 9. Jesus was going along and he was talking to three guys. The first guy does something that's very tempting for all of us. He bursts out, Jesus, I will follow you wherever you go. Jesus, I'm on your team. Hey, Jesus, I'm ready to go. Man, this is great stuff. You're healing the sick. You're raising the dead. You're teaching all this radical teaching. Man, this is awesome. Jesus, I am with you, man. Let's go. I'm on your team. Let's do it. Now, at this moment, a lot of us could identify with this because, as I said earlier, a lot of us after this, after a spiritual high in our life, we feel the same way. We come to church and we have a great time of praise and worship, and man, the Spirit of God's really here, and the pastor's preaching a great message, and you're like, man, I'm going to do it this time. God, I'm going to serve you. I'm ready. And people come down, and I'll be honest with you. People who all the time come to me, and they're here for maybe the first or second time, and they come in church, and man, the Spirit of God's powerful that Sunday morning, and they feel God's presence, and they come to me crying, this is awesome, man. I've been looking for this. You know, my family needs this in our life, and man, we're here, man. We're here. And we never see them again. I never see them again. Why is that? Because they haven't counted the cost. Oh, it's easy to say that after an emotional high or after a spiritual high in your life. But Jesus said, listen, don't just tell me you're going to love me at the end of the service. He goes, what you going to do Monday morning when you got to get up and go to work? What are you going to do on Saturday? What are you going to do on Friday? What are you going to do when you got a tight schedule and the pressures of this world is coming upon you and you still got to follow after me and I ask you to do things that you don't want to do? Are you still going to love me then? Contents will be hazardous to yourself. I want to jump right in and get involved. And then we don't count the cost because it's going to cost you something. And so Jesus went on to talk about some animals right here. Isn't it kind of cool? He had a way of teaching. That's the way he said. He said, listen, hey, let me just tell you this in Luke 9, 58. He said, foxes have dens to live in and birds have nests, but I, the Son of Man, have no home of my own, not even a place to lay my head. Well, Jesus saying that, man, I'm taking a vow of poverty here. No, he wasn't poverty-stricken. What he was trying to say is, if I'm God, and I'm doing the will of the Father, and man, I have to travel. I'm doing all this stuff. I'm going from city to city. I don't even have a home of my own. I don't even know where I'm staying from night to night most times. He was saying, listen, it's going to cost you something. You're going to have to give up some security. Things aren't just going to be easy for you. Why did Jesus say that? Because he wanted us to know that following him, at times it's going to be cost you things. It's not going to be comfortable for you all the time. He's going to stretch you. He's going to ask you to what? He's going to ask you to change at times. How many like it when Jesus asks us to change? What a great series. We need to come back and do that one some more, don't we? Change. He stretches us. Once you become Christ followers, things change. See, now you become sin-sensitive. When you become a Christ follower, you become sensitive to sin in your life. You become sensitive to things that didn't used to bother you, now they bother you. Because the Holy Spirit is working inside of you. He's saying, listen, when you've been to follow after me, you can't do everything the way you used to do it because my Spirit's going to talk to you. My Spirit's going to tell you, hey, I need to learn to forgive this person. Hey, I need to learn to do more for God here. Hey, I can't have this thought. Hey, I can't say these words. Hey, I can't react to this person the way I used to react. His Spirit's going to talk to you. He says, listen, be ready, because when you follow after me, it's going to cost you things. He's going to ask you to do things in your life. He says that when you become a Christian, that you don't own a thing, that you are the manager, and he is the owner. He says, when you become a Christian, he says, you don't own a thing. Everything you have belongs to God. You're saying, God, everything I have belongs to you. My family, my life, my dreams, my goals, my house, my car, my possessions, my job. Everything I have belongs to you. I give it to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. And God, I want to use it for the glory of you. He said, listen, count the cost when it comes to serving me. He gives these big warning labels. He says, count the cost. Compassion. Prior to becoming a Christ follower, he said, oh, I don't like that person over there. They're not from the same social class I am. Their skin color is different than me. They talk different than me. They look different than me. They think different than me. They vote different than me. And so I don't like these people. But see, when you become a Christ follower, he gives you compassion. You can't react to people the way you used to react. You got to treat people the way that you want to be treated. You show respect to people. You love people. You don't divide people up into social classes or into racial groups. But you say, they're all God's children. God loves them. God loves them. And I've got to learn to have compassion for everyone. See, he was very clear about these warning labels. He said, hey, listen, this is what I'm about. This is what I've come to do. You can't walk around holding a grudge all the time because I have forgiven you. While you were yet sinners, Christ forgave us. And he says, listen, if you want to be forgiven of your sins, you got to forgive everybody else who's done you wrong also. So I can't walk around with a hardened heart, with unforgiveness of that spouse who hurt me, that ex-spouse who did me wrong, or that person who did things to me that were very harmful. And it doesn't mean that I like them. It doesn't mean I'm becoming their best friend. But in my heart, I've got to learn to forgive them and move on because Christ has forgiven me. This is very important that we realize these big warnings that God says, listen, this is the way you're going to live your life as a Christian. If you're going to do this, you've got to realize. Let me give you this next warning. Procrastination is harmful if swallowed. Some of you are slopping down in your seat right now. No. Procrastination is harmful if swallowed. I think we all deal with this at some point in our life, don't we? We all have things we put off and put off. It's human nature. But he says, listen to what he says here in Luke 9:59. He said to another man, follow me. Look what the man said to him. But the man replied, Lord, first let me go and bury my father. And I tell you, that really has puzzled me in this verse as we look at the story, because how many of us, that doesn't seem like an unreasonable act that he would ask. Jesus, before I follow you, let me go bury my father. And Jesus is like, listen, man, come on, let's go. It's either now or never. I think, man, Jesus, you're kind of insensitive there, aren't you? I mean, even you cried at Lazarus' funeral and you went there, you know, and you were going to raise him from the dead and still, yeah, you're grieving. Well, as you study this text and you really break it down and find out the really story behind the story, let me tell you some information here. His father was still alive. His dad was still alive. And what he was really saying was this, hey, my dad's kind of old and one of these days he's going to die, and when he dies, I've got to be there to help him out. And Jesus is like, man, your dad's kin to Methuselah. He ain't going nowhere. That's just an excuse. He was just using an excuse of saying, I want to follow after you, God, but, I mean, man, I got to go take care of this first. Then I'm going to be right there. You guys go ahead. Hey, I love you. I'm with you. Excuses. He was putting it off. It sounds good, doesn't it? Sounds really cool, but hey, after I bury my dad, after he dies, his dad wasn't going anywhere. It's a weak excuse. Let me tell you this. You know what the biggest excuse we have today? I believe in my deepest hearts, the number one thing that's going to send people to hell are not the sins of the world. It's not the things that we think of, these major things that we think of are out in society today that you turn on the headlines or read the paper about. The number one thing that's going to cause people to miss heaven is tomorrow. Tomorrow, God, I'll serve you. Tomorrow, God, I'll live for you. Tomorrow, God, tomorrow, I'll do it. Tomorrow, I'm going to get back in church. Tomorrow, I'm going to start living for you, God. Tomorrow, and maybe we put it off and tomorrow never comes. And we'll put it off by human nature. We're procrastinators. And Jesus, listen, hey, either do it or don't do it. Get on or get off. Don't say you're going to. He said, do it. Because let me tell you, It'll never be the right situation. You'll never have, well, when I get things lined up in my life, Pastor, then I'll live for God. When I get things lined up in my life, it's first thing, I got to stop doing some things first. I got to stop doing this and doing it. You're never going to stop without Jesus' help. It's never going to be the right time. Your job's never going to be right. Your marriage is never going to be right. And everything's never going to be in the right timing. You just got to say, I'm going to do it. And through God's grace, he comes and he helps you correct the things you need to correct in your life. He helps you overcome the things you need to overcome. He helps you stop the things you're doing. Because you can't do it on your own. I can't do it on my own. You can't do it on. Only we can stop doing the things we do is through the power of the Holy Spirit alive in our life. That he empowers us to make a difference. And he says, listen, let me give you a warning right here. Don't put it off. Don't say tomorrow. Look what he says here. No one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God. Wow. Which brings us to our next point. Warning. Indecisiveness will cause serious side effects. Being indecisive will cause serious side effects. Let's read Luke 9:61. Still another said, I will follow you. I will follow you, Lord. But first, let me go back and say goodbye to my family. How did Jesus respond to him? Look what he says here in verse 62. No one who puts his hands to the plow and looks back is fit for the service of the kingdom of God. Now, doesn't that sound like a reasonable ask, though? Hey, God, first, I'm going to follow you, but first of all, let me go back and tell my family goodbye. And I think, God, you're kind of hard here, you know? I would want to go back and tell my family bye. Hey, I'm going with Jesus. I'll see you in a couple of years. I'm going on this missions trip. Man, it's going to be awesome. But when you go back and study the original meeting, he wasn't saying, go back and tell his family goodbye. He was saying, I need to go back and ask my mom and dad what they think. I need to go back and take a vote. How many of my family think I should go with Jesus, and how many think I shouldn't? He was leaving his decision to follow Christ up to a family vote. And Jesus was saying, listen, you can't do that. You can't do this because you know why? Because not everybody's going to agree with you. It's true, isn't it? Now, everybody's going to agree with you. If you're waiting for everybody to give you a slap on the back, oh, you're doing a great thing. You're making the right decision. It's not going to happen. Because Jesus, when he came, he said, I'm going to bring something that's going to be right in people's face, and not everybody's going to like it. Not everybody's going to agree with you. And so don't take it to a family vote. If you're going to do it, let's do it now. If you're going to follow me, let's follow me now. Don't wait. Warning. Listen, don't go back and ask your family, is this a good thing or not a good thing? You ask me. And I'm telling you, follow after me and I'll make you fishers of men. Follow after me. If you're going to do it, let's do it now. Let's do it now. Don't go back and begin to ask other people. Because today is the day. Be decisive. Don't look back. Next warning is this right here. It's the last one I'm going to give you today in closing. This brings us to this right here. Contents under pressure. Look what Jesus said here in Luke 12:51. Do you think I came to bring peace on earth? He said, no, I tell you, but division. Wow. You think Christ was applauding the fact that saying, I came to bring division? No, he's just keeping it real and saying, listen, people are not going to agree with me. People are not all going to accept me. I mean, we can see this in society today. Remember a couple years ago when the movie Passion came out? I mean, L.A. Times, the New York Times all gave it a thumbs down. Yet it went on to be the highest, broke the record for highest grossing movie of all time. I mean, critics were sounding off on it. I mean, people were hitting it right here. Not everybody liked it. They didn't like what it stood for, and they didn't like what Christianity stands for. And you can't turn on the news today on a major news outlet and see both sides arguing this and that. Christianity is this, and man, I don't believe in this. It's butting their heads. God says, listen, I've come. There's going to be division. Not everybody's going to accept what I say. Not everybody's going to agree with me. So if you're going to be my follower, warning, you're going to come under pressure. If you're going to follow after me, be ready, warning. You're going to be put under the pressure cooker at times in your life. Look what he says here in Luke 12:52. From now on, there will be like five in a family divided against each other. Three against two and two against three. Wow. He's saying even your family is going to be divided. That's why you can't go back and ask your family what they think, because they're not all going to follow after me. They're not all going to agree with you. If you're going to do it, you got to do it and don't look back. Warning, don't hesitate. Warning, don't put it off. Warning, it's going to cost you. Warning, I'm going to ask you to sacrifice. Warning, you're going to suffer some things when you choose to follow after me. Warning, you're going to submit to my lordship. Warning. Pastor, I just thought all I had to do was pray the prayer, and that's it. That's where we start at. But he gives us a warning. Says, hey, listen, if you're going to pray this prayer and you mean it, some things are going to change in your life. I'm going to ask you to do some things in your life. I'm going to ask you to do some things by putting me first. And when you do that, the world's going to view you different. People are going to ridicule you. People are going to push you. People are not always going to agree with you. A pastor, are you telling me this because this is all doom and gloom? No. I've been serving God for over 30 years, and I can tell you, man, it's the best decision I've ever made in my life. I can remember when not serving God. I can remember times of falling away and not serving him and the turmoil in my life and the inner struggle I had going on, sleepless nights, my conscience and things that are going on. I can tell you, living for God is the best decision I ever made in my life. Saying yes to his lordship, I have joy and I have an empowerment in his life. But listen, there's a warning label. So he said, I want you to know the facts. God said, I don't want to just tell you about all this abundant living. I don't want to tell you about all these blessings I'm going to give you when you serve me. But listen, there's also some things you need to know. Warning. You're going to have these things also in your life. It's not always going to be easy. Warning. You're not always going to feel like serving me. Ah! What do you mean, Pastor? I just thought, man, to serve God, it's going to be like really easy. Warning. You're not always going to feel like getting out of bed. Warning. You're not always going to feel like giving. Warning. I mean, all these warning things. Just listen. I'm not trying to paint a picture here. Everything's roses, man. Because there's going to be some sacrifice. But it goes along to say, but if you sacrifice, there's a greater reward waiting for you. And that's what we live our life for, knowing that he asks us to sacrifice. But I can tell you this, the benefits, the reward of the sacrifice he asked me to do far, far outweighs and exceeds the sacrifice. The blessings that have come into my life and that are still coming to my life far exceed any sacrifice I've ever given up for him. But I got to know that comes sacrifice when it comes to serving God. I learned that when I live a life of morality, and morality changes because the Spirit's asking me to change some things, then my conscience becomes clear. I don't have to walk around with a guilty conscience. I sleep better. When I have forgiveness in my life, I realize, you know what? That I'm living with forgiveness in my life, it frees me up. We see in Scripture, not in Scripture, but in society today, they tell us that when we don't forgive, that it causes stress in our life. And there's people, there's hospitals full of people today that are there, and it can be related to, their illnesses are related to stress, unforgiveness. And when you forgive people, you say, man, no longer are you going to control me. It frees you up to be emotionally, spiritually, and physically healthy. I mean, it's a great thing when you learn to release people and say, man, you are not going to hold me. I forgive you. When I realize that my possessions belong to God, that everything I have belongs to God, it helps me not be so materialistic. It helps me get my focus off myself and say, God, everything I have belongs to you. If you want to use anything I have, it's yours, God. And if I have a problem, God, I need you to help me. And God, your word says, if I will be faithful and pay my tithes and my offerings, that you're always going to take care of my bills and my needs. And I'm always going to have a shelter over my head, and you're going to bless the things that I do. And so it causes me to live stress-free of God's going to take care of me. When I give excellence to everything I do, yeah, it's a sacrifice, but I do it unto the Lord. I excel in my job. I excel in what I do. I get promotions. I get raises. I present God in an incredible way because I'm doing things with excellence. When I show compassion, what am I doing? I'm releasing people. I'm being like Christ. I'm growing. I mean, all these things have sacrifices, but the rewards are so much more greater. I'm glad that I serve a God who gave us warnings. I'm glad that our God didn't just say, hey, serve me, and man, it's all going to be great. It's all this good stuff. And he didn't just show us all the good stuff, but he said, listen, when you serve me, this is what's going to happen also. Now, the rewards, they're going to outweigh the sacrifice. But there are things, beep, warning labels that he came. And that's why he walked this earth, that he could talk to us and teach us that, hey, serving me comes with a cost. Count the cost when you serve me. Today, in closing, as musicians come this morning, I want to ask you this. You see, Pastor Gene, wow, you're talking about serving God and counting the cost. And I just prayed a prayer. I didn't realize that God wanted me to live for him in this kind of way. You're kind of making me feel kind of guilty. That's not me. That's the word of God. I'm not making you feel guilty. That's just God's Spirit convicting you about maybe changes and things in your life. Now, if you're ever here, you know that we preach a positive message so many times here. We believe in the positive message of Jesus Christ. But this is, we preach a positive message. We have a responsibility to preach and teach that, hey, warning, following after God's going to cost you. But I can tell you this, that serving God is the best decision you ever make in your life. It's more than just coming down and saying a prayer, but it's about a lifestyle, following after him. Am I saved by my works and the things I do? No. But Scripture is very clear that once we serve God, that good works are going to follow us. Good things are going to follow. Our actions are going to change. And we're going to want to do things differently. We're going to want to treat people differently. We're going to want to talk different. We're going to want to think different. We're going to want to act different. It's this Holy Spirit working on the inside of us. I'm going to ask you to bow your heads today. And that's when I ask you this question. Nobody's looking at me. I will not embarrass you at all. I just want to ask you this question today. So, Pastor Gene, as you're talking about this, I realize today I need to ask Jesus Christ into my life. I need to make him Lord of my life. I've never done that before. Maybe you've done it in the past, but you say, you know what? I just haven't lived for him in a long time, and today I want to renew my relationship with him. If God's speaking today and you want to make that decision, no one's looking but me. Can you just raise your hand and say, that's me, Pastor Gene. I want to do that. Thank you. Anybody else? Thank you. Anybody else? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Anybody else today? Say, that's me, Pastor. I'm tired of putting off tomorrow. Tomorrow. I'm not going to do it. Raise your hand one more time if you haven't raised it yet. Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, thank you. With several hands that went up today, and let me say to you today that you're making a great decision. You're not making this decision off of a spiritual high. You're not making a decision because I've come and preached this blessed message about how great things are going to be in your life. I've just come and presented the warning labels that Christ presented to us. And in that, many of you are saying, you know what? I need to get right with Jesus Christ. I need to serve him. Those of you who raised your hands today, I want you to stand. Let's all stand. Let's all stand today in closing. We're going to say this prayer today. And if I say this prayer, I'm going to pray for everybody here and close this out in prayer. Let's all repeat after me. Say, dear Jesus, forgive me my sins. Come into my life today. I give you everything I am. Everything I want to be, I give to you. Take away my sin. I accept your love. I accept your forgiveness. Be Lord of my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Yeah, just clap. Yeah. Several raise their hands today to pray that prayer. If you prayed that prayer today and you raised your hand, we got a special gift back. Dan's in the very back by the sound. Raise your hand, Dan, back in the bay. Yeah. We got a special packet for you today. It's got the Gospel of John, some other great gifts in there we'd like to give you just to help you along your spiritual walk, helping you get a jump start on your Christian walk today, decisions you made for Christ. I'm going to close you out in prayer today, and I want to pray especially that all of us would learn to submit to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. So I speak on this today, and I talk about these warnings. I know that every one of us can identify with at least one warning. Yeah, I haven't been heeding to that warning. So I'm going to pray for you today in closing. Father, I thank you, Lord, for this group of people that are here today. God, they want to be here. They love you. And Father, I pray that we will all learn, God, myself included, to learn to submit to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, that we would heed the warnings that what you gave us in the Bible. Our Christian walk is not just about saying the prayer and then walking out here, but it's about turning away from a lifestyle that we used to be at and begin to walk in the opposite direction towards you. Doesn't mean we're perfect. Doesn't mean we'll not make mistakes, but it doesn't mean we're going to pursue you, God, in a real way. And I pray today that as we walk and learn to pursue you, that God will take heed to the warnings and learn that, God, we are called to submit our life to you. We're called to submit to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Help us, God, to quit putting off things for tomorrow that we can do today. Help us to take a hold of the plow, Scripture says, and to go forward, not looking back. Help us not to be afraid of persecution. Help us not to be afraid of what people are going to think, but God, help us to stand up for the gospel of Jesus Christ. That one day when we stand before you, that God, we will say that you were not ashamed of us because we were not ashamed of you. And you'll say, welcome, my good and faithful servant. Well done. Well done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. God bless you today. Shake a hand before you leave. Hug a neck before you leave. It's good to see you.